play action, wants to throw, fires it into the end zone, has a man, it is complete, touchdown Arkansas. Julian Horton for 20 yards.
Welcome back, 11:07 in the zone. Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas will join us in the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report in mere moments. I do want to mention we do have college basketball in the state tonight with a couple of teams in Conway facing off, UCA and Hendricks at 7 o'clock tonight. So we get a look at these new Bears. A lot of new faces.
New coaches.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, not new, but.
New position
new
for
positions,
an old coach.
Yes.
A couple of true freshmen starting in there. A couple of freshmen, I should say, starting in there. So we'll see. We'll see. Some young faces is going to be a big part of what they're trying to do up there. Arkansas obviously dealing with its growing pains with young faces being part of the mix for them as well in football, not as much in basketball. Jim Harris, good morning.
So we're going to get some football talk in on this off week?
Yes.
Or we want to talk basketball?
I'd like to talk football. We're actually going to talk to Ernie Murray a little bit later this hour, too, so we'll talk a little more about hoops, and we'll touch on it with you as well. But
another Pine Bluff area man who's bettered himself and moved to Little Rock, I guess.
Yes.
Not bettered necessarily, but you know what.
He has bettered himself, and he's moved to Little Rock. Those are not necessarily associated.
Yes.
Jim, I may be naive. I don't know what my problem is. Maybe I've talked to Rick Schaefer too much lately. I just don't feel bad about what I'm seeing. I feel like Arkansas is competitive in games against teams that are ahead in program building. And this last week was a good example of that. I felt like Arkansas was very competitive with an Ole Miss team. They did a couple of things that had me scratching my head, but so be it. But, you know, on a pretty regular basis, I felt like, hey, they're stacking up all right here.
Yeah, I really wish, I guess in hindsight, I guess Coach Bielema is not going to second-guess himself or his coaches. But
that's what
I think they've really gone a little overboard on the trickery.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt them, I think, in momentum the other day a couple times. Right off the bat, I'm not sure what's accomplished by putting A.J. Derby in the ball game. I think somebody said, well, they didn't want to run the quarterback and maybe Brandon Allen get hurt. Of course, if Derby's in, he ain't throwing, probably. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, if you don't want the quarterback to get hurt then why are you calling for a throwback pass to the quarterback in the third quarter when, you know, you've got all the momentum, you've just scored two straight possessions other than the kneel down at the end of the half. You got all the momentum, you're down three, you're moving into red zone territory, you're just about close enough at least for Hawker to kick a tying field goal, and you run a throwback pass. I mean, and a pitch to Jonathan Williams with a throw coming is not a surprise anymore either. Mm-hmm. It's like the playbook's kind of small. That they, the thing that's really got me about this year, not to jump away from the trick plays, but I'll go back to, say, the Alabama game. This was really odd to me. They completed a deep pass, a pretty deep pass to Hunter Henry, if you remember, and got the ball moving, first time they'd moved into Alabama territory. They called almost the very same play on the next snap to Hunter Henry. It's like, I mean, that's kind of odd. And of course, Alabama had adjusted its defensive look apropos to that, I guess, too, by, putting a another safety or playing it cover two, and the ball got intercepted. But it's just been really odd. Some of the play calling has been odd to me, and I like what you're saying. I would feel good. They are playing at Auburn closer. You see what Auburn did to Tennessee. You know, they're absolutely on a roll. Arkansas was in that ball game. Arkansas was in this ball game Saturday. I think it was kind of close to winnable. I don't think Arkansas is on anybody's bullseye list either, too. So, Arkansas kind of doesn't probably get the absolute supreme effort from people now. I mean, things are okay. I think they should win next Saturday, a week from Saturday, against Mississippi State. I think that they should take advantage of a lot of things about that game that should play in their favor.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Mississippi State does play Alabama this week.
Right, that helps.
Plays Ole Miss the following week. They come here to Arkansas in between two major games for them, and Arkansas's got a week off. So it seems like the advantages are certainly in Arkansas's favor.
I would agree with that. I wonder what the line will be on this game.
On the Arkansas-Mississippi State game?
Yeah.
My guess was Arkansas would be favored by three.
That's
but
about right.
I don't know. A lot of people might have scoffed at that. I
don't disagree with you. SEC announced players of the week. Nick Marshall from Auburn, no surprise. Like you said, I mean, did the same thing, you know, the next week. Actually did a little bit better. 214 yards on 14 carries. 214 carries would be a record. 214
right.
yards on 14 carries. Only threw seven passes. We thought the nine that they threw as a team against Arkansas was a low number.
You know, it just continues. I still think about, because I knew Gus Malzahn coaching at Hughes. I knew what he had done. You know, and I knew he was at Shiloh, and he threw a lot. And Springdale, of course, with Malzahn, I mean, with Mustang, they threw a ton, you know. And they also ran, did a lot of trickery stuff and looked great. But I mean, he comes to Arkansas in 2006, and it was like everybody from Frank Broyles on down thought this offense, this Gus Malzahn system was going to be, you know, just throwing it all over the field. I think we've said this like 3 weeks in a row now, you know, about Malzahn, but he's showing you exactly what he did when he was a high school coach. When he just had running backs, he ran the – I mean, when that was what his team could do, he ran. At Springdale, they could run and pass. They did it both. You know, all this idea and all this thing that you got from Houston Nutt that, oh, you know, we had Felix Jones, Darren McFadden, Peyton Hills. We got to run the ball. I mean, Gus knew that.
Yeah.
And at Auburn that year, the best game probably that Arkansas played the whole year, and that includes that blowout of Tennessee later, you know, Arkansas goes down there and beats the number two team in the country, 27-10. How many passes did Arkansas throw that day with Mustang? Do you know?
No, I don't.
10?
Yeah, 10. They were 7 of 10. You know, that's the day that McFadden just – exploded kind of onto the national scene with 165 yards, and Arkansas just, you know, bashed them. I'm just saying, I think Gus can do whatever he has. He can adjust to whatever talent he's got, and you're seeing it. And if you get the people that are probably listening don't have the time to go back and watch entire games again, but if you could compare what they looked like against Tennessee and Arkansas running that football compared to what they look like against Washington State in the opener, it's like you're looking at a Division II team in that opener, and now they're so crisp, they're so fast, they're so efficient. They're going to be a handful here for Georgia, and I don't expect them to beat Alabama, but I think it'll be a competitive game.
Yeah, this is a little bit off topic out of the SEC, but there's a similarity going on with Bobby down at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is 6-4, and they've had some horrific gaffes that have cost them a chance to win a couple of other games. I mean, turnovers have really been the issue, but they're going to be bowl eligible already, and probably will add at least another win. Hopefully ASU can knock them off later in the year, but you know, they should be able to get to 7 wins, I would think, against Texas State in a couple of weeks. But guess who's got the top running back in the country? Bobby Petrino. Western Kentucky is the number one rusher in the entire country. There's a guy who, again, for all his the misconception on him throwing the ball over the yard, when he's got a great running back, which he knew he did, he will feed the beast, and it has worked out well for them.
And I'll bet what they've been doing in the second half. I mean, when they've gotten a chance. Well, also their passing game really turned the ball over. He's in worse shape with a passing game than he ever was at Arkansas. So I think you're right. I mean, he's had to adjust, but he'll always tell you when he's got the passers and receivers in place.
Right.
I mean, you pass to score and you run to win. I mean, he was going to wing it and get the points in the first half and get control, and he's going to control you with the running game. I mean, that's just good, pretty sound football too. I see Alabama doing a lot of that. They get it down to those receivers. Alabama, everybody seems to act like Alabama is just pitch it to Yeldon all the time, and that's a good strategy, especially in the second half. But they sure do pitch and catch with those great receivers, too.
Well, you know what's funny is, and let me correct something real quick on that, too. Andrews is actually fourth in the country in rushing per game, but he's number one in all-purpose running per game. But he was he's obviously having a great year. But like I pointed out on Twitter the other day, you saw the drive where Arkansas went pound, 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 you know, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 2, 3. Yeah. I mean, good things happen in the run game. And then all of a sudden, oh, weird. Guess what? We got Hunter Henry running wide open for a touchdown. It's strange how defenses react when you're running the ball effectively against them, and that's the advantage Alabama has every week.
And that was a well-called series. It was kind of getting late in the first half, and Arkansas adjusted. You know, the hole they were trying to hit, and I think Corliss Marshall got a 30-yard gain to really put Ole Miss on its heels. And then they were. I mean, their linebackers were so geared at, you know, going after the running backs that the middle was left wide open for Hunter, and it was a great called series. I mean, that I'm not wanting to sit here and just criticize the play calling, because, I mean, there have been some well-designed play calls, and there's also been well-executed drives by the offense. I mean, some of this is not on the play caller either when the plays are executed well, but I still have to scratch my head on the throwback halfback pass thing.
Well,
that really concerns me.
Yeah, I'm with you. The thing I do like, they do get a little too cute maybe at times. The thing I do like is that Arkansas seems to be able to run the ball against teams that are not Alabama or South Carolina. You know, teams that have way above average defenses, when the other team knows they're going to run it. So it's like, I know you're going to run it. I don't know where you're running it, but I do know you're going to run probably on this play, and you can still run the ball. That's what they were able to do against Ole Miss, and at times against Auburn, and certainly against Texas A&M. That, to me, is encouraging, especially when you realize there isn't any great threat of a passing game. Yeah. They do have some issues in the offensive line with youth. The defense clearly has holes all over the place.
I do hate to tell you this, though. Texas A&M, for as good as its offense is, may have the worst defense in the
Admittedly. No, I know. Well, they gave up 41 to Mississippi State. Look no further.
Right.
But still, my point is, when you've got a team that is not elite defensively, you are able to run the ball on a regular basis. Now, eventually you hope to, within 3 years, be able to run the ball somewhat effectively against teams like, maybe not necessarily Alabama, but probably Alabama.
LSU.
You better be able to. Well, LSU's obviously
going to.
I think they'll run the ball on LSU this year because of the young defense. Absolutely.
I think if you can, in the future, with recruiting, get you a tackle that's, if they don't already have it, in the quality of Kirkland and Skipper, you know, those kind of guys, or put them at tackle and get guards that are that quality. I mean, whatever works best. I mean, if they continue to recruit behind this first pretty decent class they brought in, you know, good things are going to happen. I guess what only bothers me maybe is, you looked at the schedule. I looked at the schedule. You saw all these losses. We didn't really – not everybody saw Auburn to be what they are, let's face it. You probably penciled in Auburn and Mississippi State as victories and hoped that maybe having South Carolina at home might be a victory. I mean, if you were looking at 6 wins or 7 wins, that's probably how you outlined it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the truth of the matter is, Arkansas has been the underdog in every one of those games. And they've lost. I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is the only thing this coach's staff hasn't done that you see a great staff do, usually in this situation, is somehow come up with that win you didn't expect.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, their closest game is still in conference, is still only a 10-point loss.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been in a ball game in the last drive against anybody they've played since Rutgers.
Yeah, the A&M game was not out of hand until way late, though.
Well, it was a 12-point game at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it stayed that way. So, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. No, it never got
It was never close.
Never got nail-biting time.
It was 5 points in the third quarter, and Arkansas kind of missed it. I think I remember that game where they had 3 possessions in that ball game that they were a touchdown or less behind and didn't do anything with it. So, or less than a touchdown behind, I believe.
Arkansas is averaging a little over 200 yards rushing a game. I'm going to be surprised if they don't do it, get to that average or close to it in the next in the last two games. I really will. Some people are like, LSU? Yeah, LSU.
Well, I don't think they need to worry about, you know, limiting Alex Collins' carries anymore.
Right? Yeah.
You know, remember that came out? Remember we even talked about that maybe the week of the Rutgers game that somebody said he's touching the ball 30-something times a game or something, and, you know, can he hold up? Or I remember there was a, mm-hmm. you know, an SB Nation story about it. It was, you know, well, we can forget that now. He touched the ball 10 times, you know, the game this past weekend. I mean, that probably wasn't enough.
Right.
You know, let's get him the ball 18, 25 times. Let's continue to try to throw to him. They tried that one sort of a fake reverse pass attempt, sending him down there and in a time in the game when Ole Miss, you know, had three defenders all around him and the ball was intercepted. I thought that was the replay you were going to broadcast when I came on.
Yeah. Would have liked to have. Jim, it's great. The 1-2 punch obviously is very good. You know, Collins is averaging about 100 a game and Williams at 70, 75, 78, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously got a good 1-2 punch. We were talking earlier about Corliss Marshall. What do you think the long-term future is for him as far as position goes?
Kind of depends on if they were to bring in a hotshot running back in recruiting here in one of these last spots they've got left. If they brought in a guy that like they did last year with Collins, they would probably feel more it has great breakaway speed. They would probably put Marshall back at safety where he likes to play, and they need the help there. But I think he's the one guy of those three that against SEC competition, I can see that guy busting a 60-yard
run. Yeah, he's your home run hitter, right?
I know Jonathan had a couple of home runs early against Samford and Lafayette, but I don't see him doing it against SEC teams, but unless it's Mississippi State.
Right.
So I would think that it really depends on the personnel they're able to bring aboard. I know they'd like to bring in a 4-star safety, you know, that could step in and play as a freshman and, you know, make that point mood. I like what Marshall brings, and he's certainly going to be a lot better next year. I don't think they even expected him to play at all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you couldn't keep him off the field.
Well, he's been fun to watch, without a doubt. Let me get a couple calls in here, Jim. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Jim. Justin, appreciate you guys taking the call. I listen often, don't call very much. But, Jim, I enjoy your website. I follow your tweets. I've heard you speak Kiwanis, so I really respect what you have to say about the Razorback. But from following your tweet during the games and kind of during the week, I kind of get the sense, and this may be too leading, is that you really don't care too much about the way the offensive play calling is going. Or maybe is there something with Jim Chaney you just don't really care for? Or kind of what's the beef there? And if you could talk about that a little bit, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, well,
where's the beef, Jim?
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, it's probably not a beef, but it's probably just an observation that and I'm not sure how much Chaney's hamstrung with how much Bielema calls. It's very possible, from what I understand, talking to other people, that, you know, Bielema actually may call for a trick play at that time. He called for the onside kick against Auburn. He very well could have said, let's hit him with that halfback pass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a kind of a disaster. It was a 9-yard loss, changed the momentum. The only thing about Chaney, and in hindsight, I probably got all excited too. If you look back in what I wrote, that, you know, they put up great numbers at Tennessee with Tyler Bray and three NFL draft choices at receiver. He doesn't have that here. If he did, you know, you might be seeing better yardage. But here's the other thing. They were lousy on defense last year too. And as it was pointed out to me when I was talking to another guy about it, you know, Tennessee didn't win very much last year. The coach but they all got fired. He didn't outscore anybody. And fact remains, this team, I say this and everybody goes, of course you want to outscore people. That's how you win. But I meant in more of a Petrino style of just, you know, beat you to the punch, score touchdowns, distance yourself. Arkansas, with kind of defense they've got, has needed to do that, and they haven't been efficient about it. I know there's a lot of factors that have entered into this. We could spend an hour talking about it, and I won't, but, you know, the injury with Brandon Allen, slowed his progression, certainly cost him the Rutgers game. You know, there's been other – they obviously don't have a lot of speed at receiver. They don't have the breaking – the breakaway guy there that can stretch a defense. So, I don't know. I kind of want to wait and see, you know, in a year or two for sure before I just – close the book and say that the coordination hadn't been good. My head scratching is just on those. And if you followed my tweet Saturday, yeah, it was more on the play calling.
Well, and the thing is,
juncture in the game that it didn't need to be called.
Well, look, I mean, all I know is this: AJ Derby, who has had issues taking snaps. You know, there are about 15 guys I'd rather in there.
Yeah.
If you're going to go Wildcat,
like you, Justin Akre.
No, but I mean, you could take any one of the three running backs we just mentioned.
Yeah.
You got a couple of other guys that are either receivers.
I'd take Hunter Henry back there.
Defensive players. There are a lot of guys. Yeah, if you're just looking for a big fella, there's lots of dudes. Jim, real quick before we let you go,
yeah.
I do want to touch on Arkansas State because they are still relevant for postseason play. They are a win away from being eligible, and I would guess.
What a great win at Monroe.
It was. Yeah. Texas State, Georgia State, a couple of games that will be favored in the Nat. Western Kentucky taking on Bobby at the end of the year to potentially get to 8-4. And they'll have to get a little help to win the Sun Belt, but certainly they look to be headed towards postseason play again in Brian Harsin's first year.
I think it's great. That was the win they had to have, I guess, on the road and in convincing fashion with Colton Browning coming back from Monroe. They were able to win that game. I think they're starting to gel. They had a week or so of, I think when they had that Tuesday game, they were given about 10 days to kind of, you know, lick their wounds, and they
yeah.
come back a lot stronger. I you know, they had to bring a lot of things together that weren't there at the start of the season. New quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you know, some questions defensively, and it just takes time for it to come together. But I think the best teams, the ones you really like to watch, are the ones that, you know, get it all together here in November. Like, I heard it as a kid, and it never leaves my mind what Broyles said. They remember what you did in November.
That's it.
And these guys can finish on a great run and get a good bowl game, maybe go to somewhere other than to Mobile this year. I guess they've already been to Mobile. But that was a huge win.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, coming off that 10-day break and then going down, you know, playing a team that has really been in every ball game, and they had them 16-7, and Arkansas State reached down and figured out a way to win that ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the kind of game that turns it. That's what you wish Arkansas had been able to do at Oxford.
Well, coming off a 23-7 loss, then they come back and they win 17-16. I'm thinking, man, this team's offense is not maybe going to be what we had hoped it would be under Harsin. And then all of a sudden they explode for 42 on the road. So hopefully that is a sign of things to come. But they could easily win a couple more and maybe win all three, even though they do have to play at Western.
Well, I think the 42 might have been a you know, things fell just right for
sure,
them.
But still.
I think with their quarterback situation, I mean, they have to – you know, lean on the defense a little bit, and they've got a great coordinator to do that with. So, I think they should dust off Georgia State pretty easily, and I guess Texas State too.
Yep.
That Western Kentucky game might be something we might have to make a road trip.
That's a good environment. I like that campus over there.
Bobby, you know.
I'm in. That'd be fun. Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. All right, Jim. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Check out Jim's work on SportingLifeArkansas.com.